As we come to 2 Kings chapter 6, let's set the context a little bit before we get into the heart, the meat of the passage. The Bible tells us in 2 Kings chapter 6 that the king of Syria, or the Arameans as they are sometimes called, had been leading surprise raids against Israel along some of the border cities. In preparation for another one of these raids into Israel, where they would come and they would burn down some of the homes and farms and steal crops and herds, the king of Syria determined a specific location for his camp along the border of Israel. But the scripture tells us that God informed his prophet Elisha about the plans of the king of Syria so that he could warn the king of Israel and they could be prepared for the king of Syria. And so after this had happened numerous times, the king of Syria is talking with some of his commanders and he says, "There must be someone within our camp who's a traitor to us, who is giving the king of Israel our location, who is sharing with the king of Israel our strategies and where our next attack is going to be. How else, time after time, could he be aware of and prepared for these surprise attacks?" He figured there was a double agent working among them. But one of his servants, somehow knowing about Elisha, the prophet of God, informed the king of Syria, "King, what is going on here is that there is a prophet in Israel, a prophet of God who is able to tell the king of Israel about your conversations, not just your conversations with us, your commanders, but is able to share with the king of Israel even your most private conversations." And that brings us to 2 Kings chapter 6. I want you to look with me to verse number 13. The Bible says, "And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." Understandably, the king of Syria wanted to know where Elisha was so that he could capture him, perhaps even take his life. The Bible goes on and says, "And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him," that is, Elisha's servant said to Elisha, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he, Elisha, answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek." But he led them to Samaria. Understandably, the king of Syria wanted to take Elisha. What's ironic is that the servant of the king of Syria has just told him that Elisha knows even the conversations that are the most private to you, that you have in your bedchamber. And somehow the king of Syria believed that he could send a force to take Elisha without Elisha being aware of it. So he sends a great host, his cavalry, as it were, horses and chariots, who arrived at night and surrounded the city so that it seemed there would be no hope for Elisha. And that's exactly what Elisha's servant thought. When he awoke early the next morning and went out of the tent, he saw the host of the Syrians in the mountain round about. The city was surrounded. There was no escape. There was certainly no fighting through and gaining a victory. The situation looked utterly hopeless. He knew, the servant did, why they were come. They were come to take out Elisha. He could already sense the weight of pressure that this day may very well be his last. He conferred with his master, and in light of the circumstance and challenge, he blurted out, as we read in verse 15, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Now understand, his expression was not a simple plea for instruction. He wasn't asking Elisha, "What do we need to do about this situation?" That's not what was going on here. His expression was one of panicked, paralyzed fear. That interjection, alas, if it were carried out in its fullest sense, would have the idea of alas for the day. Woe on this day. This is going to be a tragic day in my life. What are we going to do, Master? How are we going to survive this situation? He was panicked and he was paralyzed with fear. Elisha responded to his servant's faithless panic with a faith-filled pronouncement and prayer. Notice the faith-filled pronouncement. He looked back at his servant and said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now the servant could have looked round about and seen two individuals, himself and Elisha. Look back at the mountain and see the mountain filled with the hosts of the Syrians and think to himself, "How in the world can you possibly say that they that are with us are more than they that be with them? There's two of us, and who knows the multitude that was with the Syrian army?" But Elisha's pronouncement was a faith-filled pronouncement. And then look at the faith-filled prayer. He said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Elisha wanted his servant. The faith-filled prophet wanted the faithless servant to see what he could see, to see with faith what the Lord had provided for them round about. I want you to think about this account from the Word of God in the context of your own life. More often than not, we tend to be like the faithless servant. We look at the circumstances and challenges that surround us, that pile up on us and would overcome us. And we meet those circumstances and challenges with panicked, paralyzing fear. You've been there and I've been there. We could look at the enemy that surrounds us. Not an army of the Syrians like was true here, but we could look at the spiritual enemies that surround us. We could look at the spiritual warfare that's going on about us and within our society, within our culture, and feel as if we're surrounded and we are being piled up on and would be overcome by these things and meet these circumstances and challenges with panicked, paralyzing fear. We can meet the circumstances and challenges of our daily lives with panicked, paralyzing fear. We have all been there. These are the times when we need to pray this transformative, dangerous prayer that Elisha prayed on behalf of his servant. Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Wouldn't you agree with me that there are times in your life when you don't look at things the way that God looks at them? That you don't look at your circumstances and challenges, that you don't look at the situation that has come in your life, you don't look at the society and the culture and the situations and the circumstances and challenges within our society and our culture, that you don't always look at them the way that God does. You don't always see things as God sees them. I would have to admit that there are many times that that takes place in my life. This transformative, dangerous prayer, when offered authentically to the Lord, though, brings change. And we see that identified here in this text. So as we look to 2 Kings 6, 13 through 19, focusing in on that prayer of Elisha, as we continue to consider some of the dangerous prayers of the Bible, I want to encourage you in this day of difficult circumstances, in this day of challenges that are unlike challenges we have faced before, when we may feel the enemy pressing in on us, backing us into a corner, I want to challenge you about praying this dangerous, transformative prayer. And as you offer this prayer authentically to the Lord, be considerate of what God can change and how you can change when you pray this dangerous prayer. And so let's look at these changes. Number one, I want you to think with me about a change of concentration. A change of concentration. This dangerous prayer brings that in our lives. It brings a change of concentration. You think about this servant, and you think about it in the context of our lives. When our response to the circumstances and challenges that surround us pile up on us and would overcome us, when we respond to those things with panicked, paralyzing fear, what are we demonstrating? We're demonstrating the same thing that Elisha's servant demonstrated. What was that? He was concentrating on the enemy, wasn't he? Master, what are we going to do? Look at the enemy up there in the mountains. Look at their horses and chariots, their weapons. Look at just the two of us. We're overwhelmed. We're outmanned. We're outnumbered. This day is going to end in tragedy for us. He was concentrating on the enemy. His focus was on the circumstances and the challenges that he faced. His concentration was consumed with only what he could see in front of him. But when Elisha prayed, his prayer identified what the servant lacked and what he needed to do. He needed to get his eyes up. He needed a change of concentration. The same thing is true in your life and in mine. When we look at the circumstances and challenges that surround us, that pile up on us and would overcome us, and we respond to those with panicked, paralyzing fear. If that is our response, then friend, you need a change of concentration. When you are focused on those circumstances and challenges so that your response is panic, so that your response is paralysis, so that your response is fear, you must have a change of concentration. You need to stop concentrating on the surface level. Pastor, what do you mean by that? That is the level which is the only level that your physical eyes can see. You're focused on the circumstances. You're focused on the challenges. You're focused on what is surrounding you. You're focused on what is piling up on you. You're focused on being overwhelmed and overcome by these things. You're looking at what only your physical eyes can see, and that is where you are leaving your concentration, your focus. You need to rise above that and start concentrating on the spiritual level. As people, as men and women, as human beings, our tendency, our nature is to focus only on what these eyes can see, the surface level. As believers in Jesus Christ, we need to raise our sight above the surface level and begin looking at these things in our lives on a spiritual level. Stop focusing only on the circumstances and challenges and start focusing on Christ who rules over your circumstances and challenges. Well, how do you do that? How do you raise your sight to stop focusing only on the circumstances and challenges and start focusing on the Christ who rules over these things? Well, I can tell you this, it won't happen by ignoring your circumstances and challenges. I want you to understand something this evening. I am not preaching this evening that the way to deal with your circumstances and challenges is just to ignore them. No. The point is not just ignore your circumstances and challenges and they'll just disappear. It's not going to happen. A change of concentration isn't going to happen by just pretending that your challenges and your circumstances don't exist. No, instead, in recognition of circumstances and challenges, you do have some difficult circumstances. You do have some challenges in your life, as I do in my life, that we face. Rather than ignoring them or pretending them that they don't exist, in recognition of them, put your focus on Christ in prayer. The simple activity of authentically approaching God will begin to change your concentration. When you have circumstances and challenges in your life that are pressing in on you, surrounding you, and would overwhelm and overcome you, don't just ignore them. Don't just pretend they're not there. No, authentically go to the Lord in prayer. And just that very activity will begin to change your concentration. You'll begin lifting your eyes from the circumstances and challenges only, the surface level, to the spiritual level where you will see Christ who rules over those things. Notice the second thing that begins to change. When you pray this dangerous prayer, Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Not only a change of concentration, but a change of context. A change of context. What happened after Elisha prayed this prayer on behalf of his servant? Did you catch it in verse number 17? Now, looking at the last half of verse 17, keep in mind what he has already expressed. What is he expressed seeing? The enemy surrounding them with horses and chariots. His expression has demonstrated despair, a hopelessness, a faithlessness. But now look at the end of verse number 17 and see what happens. The Bible declares, "And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw." The same thing that he had already seen? No, he saw something more, didn't he? It goes on and says, "And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." When he prayed this dangerous prayer, something changed. What he saw actually changed. What he saw with his physical eyes was just the enemy pressing in to overwhelm and overcome. But when he changed his concentration, when he raised his eyesight to the spiritual plane, to the spiritual level, to see not only the circumstances and the challenges, but Christ who rules over those things, he saw more. He discovered that the circumstances and challenges that surrounded and would overcome him were secondary to the army of God that encamped around Elisha. Truly, those who were with them were more than those who were against them. What did this produce? What it produced in the context was that the servant who was panicked and paralyzed with fear suddenly understood that his fear was groundless in the light of God's control. When you change your concentration, and that begins with authentically bringing this prayer to the Lord. Lord, open my eyes that I may see. God, give me your wisdom. Give me your view of this situation. Give me your leading and direction by your Spirit and by your Word. What happens is that we recognize that our fear is groundless because God is in control. The experience of the servant has been repeated numerous times in our life. We know the experience of not seeing as God sees. We've been in situations where we responded in panic and paralysis and that fear and that faithlessness. We examined the circumstances and challenges in light of our limited abilities and calculate the possible outcomes based on those limited capabilities. For this servant, it was, here's Elisha, here I am, and there are armies of horses and chariots in the mountains. We are very limited with what we can do in this situation to survive. In view of his limited capabilities, the possible outcomes that he calculated were all bad. This is going to end poorly for us. But what makes this a dangerous transformative prayer is that we are asking God to take us from the place where we are to a different place altogether. We are asking God to transform us so that we are not consumed with seeing the circumstances and challenges alone, but we are able to see above them. We're not simply looking at the possible outcomes and calculating them based on our limited abilities and capabilities. No, we're beginning to see as God sees. We are seeing the circumstances and challenges as if God is in control as he is. This completely changes the context. When I look at the circumstances and challenges alone, I may be overcome with hopelessness. But when I begin to see as God sees, begin to see Christ who rules over the circumstances and challenges, and what God provides for me as he is in control, it completely changes what I see, the situation. Think about it. The context prior to the prayer would have left anyone in a place of hopelessness. If you were in that situation, you would have been hopeless. Just as there are times in your life and in mine, as those circumstances and challenges bear down on us, we feel hopeless. But after the prayer, the servant found hope. So before the prayer, there was nothing to be seen but hopeless defeat. After the prayer, the servant came to a place of hopeful dependence. And that's what this prayer, this dangerous transformative prayer, does in our lives in those situations Lord, open my eyes that I might see. It changes my concentration. I stop focusing only on the circumstances and the challenges and focus on Christ, who is over the circumstances and challenges. It changes the context. I actually begin to see as God sees, and it takes me from that place of hopeless defeat to hopeful dependence. And then notice this thirdly, it produces a change of conduct. This transformative, dangerous prayer changes the concentration, the context, and then the conduct. Apart from this dangerous prayer, the servant of Elisha was stricken in panicked, paralyzing fear. His fearful, faithless panic left him hopeless and helpless. That's where he was in verse 16. He could not see survival. He could not see a solution. But when his eyes were opened, not only could he see survival and solution, but he could see success. When his eyes were opened by God that he might see the situation from a new light, he had a different concentration. It completely changed the context. It wasn't now just, oh, I'm going to survive this day. It wasn't now just, oh, there is a solution to this situation. But it was beyond that. There is success. There is victory in this situation. This dangerous, transformative prayer propelled him from a place of fear to a place of faith. And that makes all the difference in the situations of your life and mine. Rather than panic, there was peace. Rather than paralysis, there was progress. Let's be clear and honest. Let's be transparent, a little vulnerable this evening. When you are concentrated on the circumstances and challenges that surround you, pile up on you and would crush you, you are in a place of panicked, paralyzing fear. In every situation of your life and mine, when I am focused only on the circumstances and challenges, I'm in a place of panic. I'm in a place of paralysis that is faithless and fearful. In that place, you can find no hope. In that place, all you see is despair. In that place, you can find no answers, only more questions. What do you need to do? You've been in those situations. Maybe you're in that situation right now in your life. You see the circumstances and challenges, and you feel as if you're being put into a corner. You feel as if you're about to be crushed. In that place, you're panicked, you're paralyzed with fear. In that place, You don't see victory. In fact, you can't find any hope at all. All you see is despair. In that place, you're not finding any answers. You're only finding more questions. What do you need to do? Pray, Lord, open my eyes that I might say, see. Praying this dangerous, transformative prayer authentically doesn't magically cause the circumstances and challenges to disappear, but it begins to turn your concentration from those things to Christ who rules over them. It begins to change your context as your spiritual eyes are open to see more of what God wants you to see, more of His truth, more of His power, even more of what God sees. It begins to transform you so that you are not stuck in panicked, paralyzed fear, but able to move in peace-filled, progress-filled faith. Praying this dangerous, transformative prayer authentically can produce those changes in that situation that has you crippled, that has you in despair, that has you feeling hopeless, that has you finding only more questions and not any answers at all, that has you caught in anxiety without any peace. Praying this prayer, Lord, open my eyes that I might see, will begin to produce that change of concentration. You see not only those circumstances and challenges, but the Christ who rules over them. Will begin to change the context. You see not only with these eyes on the surface level, but you begin to see with spiritual eyes, to see more of God who's in control of his truth and his power, and it actually begins to change you so that you're not stuck, but you're able to see survival, a solution, and even success, victory coming in the midst of those things. Would you join me in momentary reflection of this truth this evening? This dangerous prayer, Lord, open my eyes that I might see. I wonder how many times in your life and mine we have been caught in a situation where because our concentration has been completely on the circumstances and the challenges that we have been caught in panicked, paralyzed fear. We've been in that place of fear rather than in a place of faith. And perhaps you find yourself in one of those situations right now. And as you concentrate on only the circumstances and challenges, as your sight is caught at the surface level, you wonder how you're going to make it through it. You don't see any solutions. You certainly don't see success. You're not finding any answers, only more questions. You're not finding any peace, only more anxiety. And God is calling out to you this evening, asking you to come to Him in a simple prayer of authentic faith. Lord, open my eyes. Help me to stop seeing only what these eyes of sight can see, but help me to see what my spiritual eyes can see in faith. And God will begin to produce the change, the transformation needed in your life to move from that place of fear to that place of faith, to move from that place of paralysis to that place of progress, that place of panic to that place of peace. If God is speaking to your heart tonight, why not right now? You start now, crying out to God, Lord, open my eyes that I might see. Heavenly Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for how it speaks to our hearts and lives. Thank you for the prayers of Scripture that are recorded there for us, that challenge us and transform us as we yield to your truth that you present in and through them. Father, so often in our lives, we are like the servant of Elisha, who is panicked and paralyzed in fear. Help us to move beyond seeing at the surface level, to see at the spiritual level, Christ who rules over those circumstances and challenges. May we see more of what you see. See more of your truth, more of your power, have more of your wisdom, that we might move from that place of hopelessness to hopefulness, that place of fear to that place of faith. God, accomplish your purpose in the lives of each who have heard this truth tonight. And we will be sure to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray.